thank you once again for your invitation for me to come and speak this morning. Some of you weren't here 2 weeks ago when I spoke from the first chapter of the book of Ruth and under the name Naomi. And today it will be under the name of Ruth. My name's Rob Haynes. I'm a retired Anglican minister from Goolwa. Been there 9 years now, and I'm a bit too busy in retirement. But nevertheless, it's just such a privilege to come and share with you now. Let me summarise what I said 2 weeks ago. There are too many rivers to cross for Naomi. If you think of the map, I haven't got the map up on the screen, I'm sorry, but if you think of the map, Mediterranean Sea, Israel, in those days made up of the various tribes, and around near Jerusalem is the tribe of Judah, and Bethlehem is the town just there. Then you've got the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, and around the bottom of the Dead Sea you find the country of Moab. Four people left Bethlehem, near Jerusalem, left Bethlehem, travelled down to the land of Moab. The four people were Elimelech, my God is king, is the meaning of his name. Naomi, his wife, which means pleasantness. My God is king, pleasantness. It was a famine, but they still decided to take their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Maybe because of their sons, because Mahlon means sickness and Chilion means wasting, like wasting away. Imagine, my God is king, pleasantness, taking sickness and wasting away to a foreign land. Four of them went down to the land of Moab. The two boys took two wives. So there are now six of them in the land of Moab. Mahlon married Orpah, whose name means neck. If you think of love bites, you'll get the right idea. It means fawning. Okay. So even though he's sickness, he marries this woman in Moab. And Chilion, wasting, marries Ruth. And Ruth means the friend. Interesting, these names. Elimelech died. Okay, the father. Mahlon died. And then Chilion died. So the six are now three. Naomi still had her two daughters-in-law who stayed with her, but she decided, it was some years later, she decided she'd go back to her home country, to her hometown, back up to Bethlehem. And so she set out to go back to Bethlehem. And the two girls prepared to go with her, Neck and Friend, Orpah and Ruth. Well, at some point before they arrived in Israelite territory, Orpah decided she would leave and go back to her own family. Naomi encouraged her and Ruth. She said, you'll find your own husband there again to marry. I can't provide you with another son for you to marry. Orpah went back home, but Ruth gave us a very interesting and memorable statement. Ruth said to Naomi, Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you. So Naomi stopped discouraging her, and the two of them went back to Bethlehem. However, in spite of the encouragement of Ruth's words to Naomi, when she arrived back in Bethlehem, Naomi had built up a deep sense of sadness and hurt. And so the second little poem in chapter 1, she said to her kinsman, "Don't call me Naomi anymore, pleasantness. Don't call me pleasantness anymore. Call me Mara, bitter. For the Almighty, El Shaddai, the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. So why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" In spite of the way she spoke, when they returned, as the story goes, at the beginning of the barley harvest. So there's plenty of food, and it sets us up for chapter 2. And we're introduced to Boaz. Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, so this is Elimelech's family, not Naomi's family, Elimelech's family. He was a prominent rich man, and his name was Boaz. The name Boaz means, is in Oaz, the strength of, in the strength of. Okay, in the strength of whom? And you imagine at the birth, you know, who gives the name to the child in the strength? Who gives that name Boaz? Maybe it's a family name. But it intrigues me, in the strength of his mother giving birth, or the strength of his father, maybe a prominent man too, or in the strength of Yahweh, the Lord God. There's the question there, just in the strength of, leaves it up to our imagination in a sense. Someone has strength. Well, they've come back into Bethlehem, but it's Ruth, the friend, who takes the initiative now, looking after Naomi. Ruth is an immigrant from those foreigners in Moab. She's married into Israel by marrying Chilion, but she's widowed. She's chosen her adopted family and people, but have they accepted her? She's chosen their God, Naomi's God, but has the Lord accepted her? Ruth is taking the role of Naomi's carer, but she's also there seeking the acceptance of family and community. And chapter 2 sets up the scene. The reapers in a field, going along probably with scythes or something, you know. Some of you will know that. You've probably done it yourselves. They were, and she was going along after all the bundles had been put together, and finding a bit of straw here, a bit of straw here, here's some good heads, you know, putting them in a bag, perhaps that she's carrying on her shoulder. The field, the reapers, gleaning. And then it's very interesting, there are two little phrases here. In verse 3, as it happened, it just so happened, you know. And then about Boaz, just then Boaz. And just like all those murder mysteries on TV, there are no coincidences. Nothing is a coincidence. Well, Boaz openly gives Yahweh, or the Lord, God, honour, and he blesses his servants, and the servants bless him. So we know this is a faithful context, a context of families and workers who are faithful to the Lord God. Even though, like Naomi, they will have their own ups and downs and problems and sorrows and even bitterness in their lives. These are people who still believe that the Lord is God. Boaz said to his servant in charge of the reapers, I like the word foreman in the reading that we had there, to whom does this young woman belong? So he's demonstrating an interest in this young woman. Does he already know the story? Well, there's suggestions later on that he does. Anyway, he asks the young men, maybe he's already in love with Ruth and he doesn't want anyone to know it, who knows? We just don't know. But he demonstrates an interest in this young woman. She's the Moabitess, they say. She asked us if she could glean behind us. She works very, very hard. Maybe the young men have an interest in this Moabitess woman as well. Then follows a perfectly proper contractual relationship established by Israelites who are deeply faithful to the covenant of the Lord their God. A fascinating working out of the contract set up by Yahweh the Lord with Abraham. I want you to go back to this because this colours the whole of the Old Testament and New Testament. When the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. See what Ruth's doing? Go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Keep that as a motto of your life. You've come to that statement by coming to Christ. You've come to that whole statement of the Creator God who is promising blessing to all the families on earth, all the peoples of the earth. Those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. But in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, that's a covenant that the Lord made with Abraham, and the covenant is working out in this book of Ruth. Here is a woman of another nation receiving a blessing beyond anything she could have imagined when she married Wasting Chilion. You can't imagine much blessing coming out of marrying a bloke called Wasting away. She's come under the wings of Yahweh, the Lord God, the God of Israel. Not one of the gods of Moab, but the God of Israel. And it becomes clear that Boaz acts fully as though his name in the strength of means in the strength of Yahweh, the God of Israel, the Lord God of Israel. However, at this point, while I was reading and reading and reading through this, I began to see some interesting connections. Was it my imagination? Or did the New Testament writers see many parallels to what was happening with them and with Jesus in this book of Ruth? Now, remember, they would have known Ruth, all right? They would have really known this story. They would have told it over and over again. All the little ins and outs and all the names and their meanings, all of that they would have told. This Moabitess who's come to Israel and been blessed and is a blessing. But I began to look at the text a little bit more closely. In Ruth chapter 2, this Israelite, an Israelite marries a Moabitess, a foreign woman, takes me back to Jesus blessing the Samaritan woman. Moaz says to Ruth, "If you're thirsty, my young men will draw water for you, and you may drink." And Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "If you knew who was asking you for a drink, you would ask him, and he will give you living water." In verse 11 of chapter 2, "You left your father and mother," Boaz says to Ruth, "and your land, and you came to a people who knew you not, who you knew not." One young man said to Jesus, "Let me first go home and say goodbye to my family, and then I'll come and follow you." And Jesus says, "Don't look back." In John, a lot of people left Jesus after he'd said some hard words, and he said to the disciples, "Will you also go away with them?" Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall you go? You have the words of eternal life." That's a bit like Ruth's, you know, growing faith. "Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you're buried, I will be buried with you." And Boaz says to Ruth, "May you have a full reward from Yahweh your God, the God of Israel." And it takes me back to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. The full reward. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You will be rewarded. And so many, you know, this is a blessing kind of talk that goes from Old Testament into New Testament and just continues. "Under whose wings you've come for refuge," Jesus said, "I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. Those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. But I'm offering." Under whose wings will you gather? And then in verse 14, and this is the one that really woke me up, Boaz says, "Come here, eat some of this bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine. Come and eat this bread and drink this wine." Isn't that fascinating? Just little things like this. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything in it, whether the New Testament writers just, you know, kept remarking, "Look, this is happening, this is happening," you know. So the Last Supper, she ate till she was satisfied and there was still some left over. Oh, you remember that story? The feeding of the 5,000. "Let her glean and don't reproach her." Remember the woman with the perfume who came into the rich man Simon's house and she broke the alabaster jar and poured the perfume over his feet and wept into his hair. "She has prepared me for my death. Don't reject her. Don't reproach her." I mean, they were just things that I noticed and I wondered about, and it just was so encouraging to me, because see, underlying all of this is that whole sense that if you're under the Lord's wings, who is the Lord? He's the God of creation. He's the God who promised Abraham. And later on, he said to the Jewish people who had rejected him, he said, God, if he wants to, can make Abraham's children out of these stones in the ground. Surely he can make Abraham's children out of foreigners like you and me. Abraham's children are those who believe the word of God and live under it. Living under Yahweh's wings, the Lord's wings, has a strong sense of hope about it. It's not just living under his wings until we die. Please don't. I will bless you. Though you die, I will bless you. There's that whole sense and intimation. The Sadducees didn't believe it. They were too philosophically opposed to the idea of resurrection. But basically, Jewish people did understand. They knew that if God made promises and they were going to stick with God, then his promise would mean some kind of resurrection. And they spoke about it to Jesus, and Jesus spoke about it to them, but they didn't realise it started with Jesus' resurrection. Under Yahweh's wings means hanging on to that hope of the resurrection. And so Ruth provided for Naomi. Boaz provided for Ruth and Naomi. Boaz protected Ruth. Naomi then in this chapter turned back from Mara, bitter, to bless Boaz from the Lord Yahweh, the God of Israel. She's beginning to see it wasn't just bitterness, that even the bitterness, in terms of God's blessing and the future and even what you went through in terms of bitterness, is coming out for good under the plan of God. And Naomi, towards the end of the chapter, is even hinting that there may be a future relationship which may include Boaz being under Boaz's wing, but unmistakably also includes under Yahweh, under the God of Israel's wings. For you and me, under Yahweh's wings means that we inherit, we believe, and we look forward to the fulfilling in all creation of the promise of creation. He saw it and blessed it. It was good. And the promise of Abraham, in you all the nations of the world will be blessed. So when Jesus says, come to me, all of you who labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Don't expect that rest just to be here and now, though you may get that. And believing it, believing in Jesus who gives you rest, actually gives you rest in the here and there, in spite of what's going on. You ask many, many Christians will tell you that. But it means that he's promised you rest. Whatever happens now, you have Jesus' rest. And that's why, brothers and sisters, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. In the name of the Lord God, the God of Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the name of our Saviour, we bless you, dear God, in his name. Amen.